If you've been thrown into this world of responsibility, bills, and adulting without your consent, then LO is for you.
Hello, my name is Harachi LO, and you're welcome to the LO podcast. LO is an Igbo word that means to think deeply and deliberately. On every episode of LO, my guest and I have the most sincere conversations about real life stuff like growing up, career, education, money, finance, faith, friendships, and relationships. So if you're willing to not just survive adulting, but to actually thrive and enjoy yourself while at it, then grab a seat and let us take this journey. What's up, people? Welcome to the LO podcast. I'm really excited to finally be doing this with Chris. Chris. I've known Chris for about 5 years now. I've known Chris since 2017. And for all that time, Chris has always been selling one thing or the other. I don't know how he does it. Chris is always selling. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the LO podcast. Welcome to Onyafia. Yes, Onyafia is an Igbo word that literally means market man.
Because most of the time now, market men, now they drive them, like they just want to just be in front.
Well, do you know that historically men did not go to market in Igbo settings?
Well, I didn't know that. You're the one educating me now.
Historically, it was women that went to the market while the men went to the farm. So you go to farm with your sons and your slaves. Right? Yeah. And after you're done with the production, your wife and her maids carry it to the market
to sell.
And then after, she comes and gives you an account of how the products were sold.
Yeah.
Right? But over time, when the colonial masters came, it shifted stuff. The tipping point actually was after the war. Yeah. It was after the war that everything went over. People needed to survive. At that point, nobody has shaved again.
Yes, now when Sapa comes, you don't nobody will tell you
nobody
to
will
guy
tell you
enter
what
market
to, do.
To
nobody will tell you what to do. Nobody will tell you what to do. So, Chris,
yeah,
welcome to the Yellow Podcast.
I don't even know the adjective, but if you see my face now, you know that, wow. Yes.
It's crazy. One very large grin. All right. So, Chris, what have you been up to recently? I know you're always selling one product or the other. Either you're selling a course, or you're selling shoes, or you're selling... What are you up to currently?
Okay. Currently, I decided to, like, start selling other people's products. This is otherwise known as affiliate marketing. In a way, it's more like... I'm tired of like creating stuff, so let me just tap into an existing market,
yeah,
and just sell products that will actually help people,
yeah,
to make money basically or solve a particular problem in their life. So that is basically what I am doing right
now.
That's
similar to the Osafia thing.
Yes, Osafia in Igbo land. You see all these boys in Alaba. You see all these boys in main market.
So you decided to close your shop
and become an Osafia. Do you know how much these Osafia guys make?
How much?
Do you know how much? Okay, let me give you an example. So if you're going to the market, you know all these guys that drag you. They say, "Come and buy these jeans."
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to the shop, they tell you, "This jeans is 14,000 naira." And then probably you beat down to 10K.
Yes.
And then you pay 10K to the owner of the shop, yeah?
Yes.
After you leave, maybe they've already decided that, okay, the cost of this thing, you give me 50% commission of whatever this guy spends in your shop. So if they spend 10,000 naira, that means that Onion Safia, that doesn't have a shop, that doesn't have anything, has already made 5,000 naira. But the same amount.
I don't think that in actual market settings,
that it happens
that
like
pay
that.
As much as 50%.
Okay, okay, let me even bring it down. Let's just say, okay, 30%. 30%, okay. Right? So he makes 3,000 out of that 10,000. Now, for the owner of the shop, he has to pay for the goods. Okay. He has to pay for his shop. If he has a sales girl, he has to pay for the sales girl. He has to pay for packaging. He has to pay for a lot of other things, delivery, yes, importing. But this guy, just out of the blue, just made 3,000 naira just like that. In the long run, if that guy does it 10 more places or 10 more times that same day, he's going to make 30,000 naira for having absolutely nothing. No product, no nothing. He's just driving
so
traffic.
So you are telling us to close our shop?
Yes,
and
close your shop and get me going. And yes,
that's the most ridiculous thing in my entire life. Now, I want to hear a little history. How did you start selling? What was the first product you ever sold? Was the first...
Okay, well, I will have to like go down memory lane.
Yes.
The first product I sold. Oh, yes. I think I was in JS3.
Mm-hmm.
I was in JS3. So I was a student in CKC, Christ the King College, Onitsha. So, the CKC, the school I went to, it's directly like in front of Ochanja Market. If you've heard of Ochanja Market, it's like the place that you can get ridiculously cheap footwears. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and also there are people that sell provision stores as well there. So, after school, I would jump the fence. I would jump the fence to go and get a carton of Parago. I don't know if you know this sweet.
The tree chocolate.
Yeah, that chocolate and the milk one. I love the milk one. Yes. So I will buy the two of them.
Yes.
I'll buy it for, I think, 300 naira. The pack, the carton, it was a small mini carton like this,
mm-hmm,
for 300 naira. And then I'll buy it for that 300. It has about 100 inside or so. I've forgotten. But then I will carry them to school.
Yes.
I'll carry them to school. I'll sneak him back. And then by tomorrow, when the day students come in, because I was a boarder, when the day students come in, I will
the people
sell,
with the money.
Yeah, the people with money. The people that their parents gave money for food and the rest. I'll carry this Parago and I will sell. And the one thing about this Parago is if you lick one,
yeah,
you might end up licking 10. Because it's crazy. Like once you eat one candy like this, you want to like buy 10 at the same time.
Yes. So, and it was cheap.
And it was cheap. Like it was literally very, very cheap. People could buy 30 naira, 40 naira, 50 naira, and you have a truckload of Parago to eat. So
yes,
it's crazy. So I would like sell it to these guys and they will buy up these two cartons every day. Now, I think I was making 100% profit. I think I was buying for 300 naira and I was making 600 naira in profit. In revenue, sorry.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, for the two cartons, I would have made 1,200. That's 600 naira profit every day.
For a
so I did
boy.
This. I was balling. I'll use that 100 naira. I'll use that 600.
You didn't buy your best.
I'll use that 600 to flex myself later in the day. I was a big boy. The 600 was for a border. You know what 600 naira?
Yeah, I get it.
So I would do this day in, day out until one day my form teacher then. She was like, who is this boy that is always selling Parago inside this class? And then they reported me, obviously.
Yes.
And I was told...
Was it that they didn't like the product or something?
No, I think it was maybe I was making much more money than them. So,
okay, so
they're like, this guy you have got, okay, your market will spoil. So,
yes.
So
are always people like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, in a market setting, that's basically what you expect. So I was given a punishment to like sweep the class for 2 weeks,
yeah,
dust me, and that's really, really... Like it killed the vibe and I stopped selling the Parago. But I made good money, Sha. I made good money. So that's the consolation.
So that was how the empire came.
Yeah. The Parago empire.
The Parago empire. I think I have a similar story. I used to sell sweets. And the thing was, I think it's beginner's charm or something.
Yeah.
Right? So you just bring out the product.
You just bring out the product and everybody just...
Because in real life...
Because in real life, it doesn't happen like that.
It doesn't happen that way.
You need to strategize. You need
yes.
to sit down.
Yes.
You need to plot.
You need to plot. You need to... You'd get disappointed.
Yes. You definitely have to be...
I think the first digital product I sold, you know, I just jumped into it. Jumped right into business and...
Yeah. And the market teach you.
You know, jumped right in. They said... do it now.
Yes, motivation.
So I jumped in and created a brand, did a few these things, you know, and came outside and published.
And you're young, what?
Me? I started advertising.
On your WhatsApp
status? The first on my WhatsApp status. The first day. Views. People were not like, wow.
Well, congrats.
Nice.
That's nice. And the, you know, the worst thing about selling here is when you come out to sell and people are just commending
the product
instead of buying.
Yes.
Guy, give me money. Don't be telling me it's nice. I'm not interested in you. I know it's fine.
Yes.
Just buy. Hold your distance and give me money.
Yes. I mean, that's the most.
That's the goal
as a seller. Well, it didn't go well. You know, after launching, I did it the first day, the second day, the third day. I think by the third day, it was one sale. Oh, and it was a class. I can't.
You can't teach one person.
One person.
So you had to like. And fun.
It was really, really cheap. Right? So I was hoping that because it was cheap, a lot of people were going to.
This drives me to something that I want to say before it runs out of my mind. Now, people don't necessarily buy the cheapest things.
Mm.
That's the mistake that a lot of business owners like to compete on price.
Mm.
Price is not the reason why somebody that wants to buy from you will no longer buy from you. So stop competing for who has the cheapest price in the market. Instead of reducing, one thing about, I would rather increase my price. I'd rather be the most expensive in the market than be the second to the last, like second cheapest in the market. Because if you say you want to reduce your price, let's say you're selling something for 1,000 Naira and then another person starts selling it for 800. You can say, okay, let me start selling for 600. Before you wake up the next day, somebody else is selling it for 200.
Yes.
And somebody will not see somebody of 200 and go and buy from you that is selling 600. So, but if you sell for 10,000, they'll be like, what is giving this guy in mind to sell something that I could have bought for 200, for 10,000? But then when they come to your offer, they now see that the value that you are offering is way, 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 way bigger and more attractive than what somebody of 1,000 Naira is doing. They will buy your expensive. Ask yourself, why do iPhones sell? iPhones are literally the most expensive, exorbitant phones I've ever seen. Like, it's crazy, because tell me why I would buy a phone of 700,000 or 800,000. It's not poverty talking, I know what I'm saying. Because tell me, like, it's just a phone, guy.
Yes.
But people will pay a lot of money for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you see them Infinix that they end up bringing up every phone. In fact, what's left now is for them to bring up a phone of 15,000. And people, like, they won't still make as much as the Apple company makes.
But you know, Apple is not designed for Nigerians or for third world countries. So the economy is lot of.
Do you know that Nigerians Nigeria as a country, one of the highest buyers of Apple. Like in the world, if you go through Apple's charts, you'll see that Nigerians we use Apple products more. I think we are second to America.
No.
We are second to America when it comes to using. Go and do your research. I think we are like second to, because I don't know. It's just crazy. So let's not digress too long.
Yes.
The cocoa is, stop competing on price. State your value. In fact, instead of reducing your price, add more value and increase it. Add more stuff. Instead of selling a phone for 15,000, add earpiece and charger to it and sell it for 25,000.
But don't you think that also depends on your audience and what you sell?
The people that want to buy your products are there. There's a market for expensive stuff.
Okay.
Ask yourself why people buy bottles in clubs that are worth millions. There's a market for luxury.
Okay.
So there's a mass market, there's a luxury market as well.
Okay.
So focus your, change your market, sell to a luxury audience.
Does everybody have to sell to luxury audience?
Does everybody have
what? Have to sell to luxury audience.
If you want to make money, why sell to poor people? As you're not a big brand, you cannot deal with the huge amount of numbers. For example, if you're selling pure water, the chances that you are going to make 1 million Naira selling pure water is really, really, really low, right? But it is not low
if you are hawking pure.
But if you are a big company
producing
pure water,
yeah,
the distribution that you have in place is able to make you at least 1 million in revenue, not necessarily profit, but those small margins, because you are doing large, crazy numbers of distribution,
yes,
you can still be able to scrape out good profits from it. But as a small, I believe that the audience that we're talking to are not company, are not people that do mass, like, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if we're to do this, you need to learn how to actually package your product in such a way, yes, that people want to buy because of the value and not because of your price.
Not because your price is...
Competing on prices is work. So for people that it works for, like, you will sell, but you won't make money.
Mm.
And what is the goal of selling? Number one is to help people's life. Number two is to make money. Because...
We don't want
because no one thank you. Right? So that's it. That's it.
So you're saying that you prefer...
Yeah.
To sell to a few audience that would make you back your money quickly than to a million people that will haggle the hell out of your product.
Exactly.
And stress you.
Exactly. And the truth is, if you, the money also is a very big motivation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if somebody is paying you 1 million naira to do a task or to carry out a service for him,
yeah,
you are really going to put in your best.
Mm.
But if somebody is paying you 1,000 naira, the motivation to actually do a good job is not really there.
Yeah.
Because the resources that it will take you... For small businesses. The resources that it will take you to pull out that kind of job is... Something just got to give.
Yeah.
But if they are paying you a good money...
Yeah.
If you have a project of 2 million... In fact, before you speak, you go first brush your teeth. Even if it's on call, you brush your teeth before answering that call.
Yes.
Like, the mental preparedness is cannot be unmatched.
Yeah.
And also is the quality of your service, quality of the delivery.
Mm.
So if you are doing something that you know, basically, because selling is about helping people.
Yeah.
It's about giving people something that they want in exchange for the money that they're going to pay us, right? Now, if we want to give somebody something that is good, we will need to give our best, right?
Yes.
Now, in order for us to give our best, that means that the money can be a good motivating factor for us in order to give out our best.
Give your best.
Because if you price down your service, you'll get people to buy, maybe. But then the people that are buying, and there's something that also happens when you buy something for cheap. Like, you won't really value them. If you give me a Nokia Touch and an iPhone 13 Pro Max right now, I might use the Nokia Touch to stone rats. But I cannot try it with my iPhone 13. Why? Because of the price differences.
Yes.
So if you also want people to value your stuff, this is basically what you need to understand. And when you understand it, it's also going to make a lot of difference in whatever business that you are doing.
Yes.
If you stack up the value of what you are selling, people will not mind paying good money for it.
Do you think that Igbo people do this in the markets? I know you've been around the markets for quite a long time.
The thing about Igbo people is they are direct response marketers. They know how to suck you in.
Okay.
Now, an Igbo man might just come to the shop the first day and he will just be like, ah, okay, this product that you see here is this, is that, is this, is that. And then you say, ah, I just have 10,000 to pay for this thing. And maybe the product is 18,000. They will look around, they will look, say, this guy is a new guy, you. Okay, they will say, oh yeah, bring 13.5. Bring 13.5. Okay. You will now price it to 12K.
Okay.
They will now say, okay, if I sell this thing for 12K, I may not make a profit now. They will say, okay, oh yeah, bring the 12K. It's just because you are a new person. You know what they are doing?
Yes.
They are sucking you in. They are getting you in. When you buy that thing of 12K, they will let you be. You will go home. They will even take your number in front of you and store it as customer shoe. Right there and then.
Yes.
And then, yes. And then eventually you come back.
Mm.
When you come back, they will do you well again. Or you might feel that they're doing well. You go home a happy customer. Then, in the long run, they are going to make so much money off you. Like, if they tell you how much they've made from you, you will not believe that these guys have made this much money from you. That's literally what they do. They practice this thing that we're talking about. The value over time, there's something called LTV, lifetime value.
Okay.
okay. of the customer. As a market person, as somebody that sells, you should not be focused on a one-off. Okay. You should be focused on the LTV.
But while you're focusing on that, you still have to keep
You still have to keep your margin. That's why you should never go beyond your cost price.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, even if it means literally dashing the person, the stuff, for free, so long as you don't make any money, but still you are not losing money.
Mm.
The person is going to pay with the future product that they're going to buy.
There are cases of when you haggle with evil people, right?
Yeah.
They agree for that price and they give you inferior products.
I can't say because
people over time have had this complaint that when you haggle, they give you a product
that fits your budget. And I don't really know the motive for people, but I don't really know the motive for that. Why some people do like that. But I think it's an internalized, like, it's a value system.
Okay.
It's a value system. Me personally, I believe that selling, like I've said 100 times here, is that selling is a game of helping people.
Okay.
Now, if I know that what I'm about to give you is not going to help you, or it's not going to be of value to you,
it probably isn't that it won't help you.
Okay.
It's that it will help you, but I mean, that's the help of that person. The help is you.
Well, I can't really say it's them. I can't really comment
so
on that.
So you would rather drive a customer away because he can't afford your product?
What I would do rather is to refer them to somebody that they can afford their
How
stuff.
About sending them, or sending somebody to pick that same product from another shop?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like, they will say, look at how it happens.
Let me go to our second
let
shop.
Let me go to our shop. Our shop that is across the road. They're gonna let me just cross. And they will just cross and just go, nah, where this thing? You have this. And they just collect and say, okay, look at this one now. Look at this one.
This one is for that.
This
price
one is for this was. Price now. This one fits. And funnily enough, they're still going to make money from that product because
Definitely. They
brought a customer to themselves. So my guy, find me something.
Yeah, and they also make goodwill.
Yes, and you'll be like, yes, they make goodwill with their neighbor
and with you.
Because you'll be like, this guy actually went out of his way to help me. That's nice. Oh, you feel special. you feel special.
So is there a way to apply this to small businesses?
Yes.
Say for example, I sell, what's the most random thing on the internet now? I sell bed sheets.
Okay.
And somebody's asking for bedspread of a lower price.
Yeah.
And all of the goods I have don't fit within that budget.
Yeah, it's basic. It's actually like, it explains itself. If you really want, because like I say, it's about helping the other person.
Mm.
So you really have to like think about, okay, this person doesn't have this budget.
Yeah.
So what can I do to help them? The least you can do is to direct them to somebody that fits. You're helping them. The cocoa is to get the product because people don't actually care about you.
Mm,
they only care about what they want.
I learned that the hard way.
People don't care about you. You and your brand, nobody cares.
Nobody gives.
So long as you can continue serving the need that they want you for. Mm. So long as you can serve them. So long as you can give them what they want.
Mm.
They don't have a problem with you. I don't have a problem. So if in a situation where you don't even have, instead of like throwing them away or ignoring them,
you can refer them
every other person. They will eat that. So you send them to them and they will serve that need and everybody's happy.
The customer is happy.
You are happy, you've made good with your neighbor is happy, say he has a good neighbor. So it's all that.
So very important question. Do you think that some people, we've been talking about Igbo people, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think that some people are born with the natural ability to sell?
Yes. Igbo people are born with the natural ability to sell. You can call me whatever you want. It's a reality.
Do you also think that... Do you also think that sales can be learned?
Yes, you can learn sales.
But when you learn sales and when you're pitched against people with the natural ability to sell, who gets to win?
That is a hard question to answer.
Okay.
Because most of the things that you will learn are already things that people have done.
Okay.
Now, In fact, I think that with the Igbo people, yeah, it's a right. It's passed down.
Yes. It's called.
And it's passed down. What's this word? Like unintentionally. Like it's just a way of life. This Afia system is a way of life. Nobody actually comes and carries board and pen and paper and starts teaching you how to sell. Now, what you will actually learn in sales, there's terminologies. They are nice, sexy words. But all in the end, it still translates to the same thing that these guys have been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
Like I explained now, an Igbo man would rather suck you in the first time and later upsell you on his products. Now, in the modern selling system world right now, they will tell you to offer a lead magnet. Okay. A lead magnet, something that will attract them, maybe for free. Yeah, and then later upsell them on your product. Is it not still the same thing? This one is just English, and this one is basically raw. Yeah, do you get it now? So I just feel like it's still the same thing. But where it now gets crazy is when an evil person that internalizes this system also still goes ahead to still learn how to sell. That is the bomb. That is where all hell will let loose. Because if he tries you the Igbo system and you don't work, he will try the English system and you cannot escape it.
So you're saying that the rest of the world is
at a disadvantage. but the rest of the world can actually like learn. They should manage that one. Let us manage our own. let us manage our own.
I have this theory. That everybody can learn to sell. The only difference is that the Igbo culture has a system,
the system that around working.
Teaching, exactly, around both the practice of sales and the teaching
and
of
the
sales.
Teaching of sales, because the truth is if you go to a market woman right now, go to her shop now in main market on each other and ask her, "Mama, what is the meaning of this thing that you are doing? Why do you do this thing?" She may not even be able to explain to you. She doesn't even know.
She probably doesn't know.
She doesn't even consciously.
You know, my mother does this thing. My mother does a lot of things while we are at the shop, and she's doing it, and she doesn't even know the terms for what she's doing. But if you see how she's managing the customers, you're like, Jesus.
This is what people pay thousands of dollars.
This is what I pay thousands of naira to go and learn. And then I'm to buy books and stuff. And then I'm coming back and I'm seeing this woman practicing this thing.
It's crazy.
Off the top of her head.
It's crazy. So that's it.
So what does the Igbo man do differently? What exactly does he do differently?
The Igbo man, the Onyafia.
Yes.
Actually understands that selling is a game of psychology.
Okay.
Selling is not physical. It's a game of the mind.
Okay.
Now, if you've been to an Igbo man's shop, the first thing he will do when you come to his shop is, "Hey, sit down, learn. If there's any malt or water, he will even offer you first." Now, I'm going to be breaking them down as I speak. So, the first thing, what they are doing is they are putting you at ease.
Yeah.
They are putting you at ease. Now, you are still with a bit of skepticism.
Yes.
But at least they've been able to manage you to some extent.
Mm.
Next thing, they'll be like, "Okay, Kefe, feature, what do you want?" You now point at that polo at the wall. Say, "Polo, you go, how much is this thing?" And then they'll be like, "Polo." They'll drag it out. They'll drag it out. Pam. They'll just straighten it and be like, "This polo." You know, coming from Hungary, case where, like, they will start telling you, they will start listing the features of this particular product. And then they don't stop there. They start talking about the benefits. They start telling you how you would look inside this polo.
Yes.
They will start showcasing how this polo was made, the material.
They start stretching it
for you so that you will see that it does not stretch. Like, even if you wash it for 1,000 times, it will not fade.
Yes.
Next thing they tell you, try it. What they are doing is they are putting it on you. Like, you've already started imagining yourself wearing this shirt. You've already started seeing yourself picturing it with the perfect black trousers or the perfect jeans to rock that shirt with. And they tell you to wear it. When you wear it, you see, you look yourself in it. They'll push you to the mirror. Literally, go to the mirror. Like, look at yourself. They will not start. Ah, this shirt was just made for you. Like, it's just as if they just took your measurement. Don't remove it like this. Don't wear it like this. What they are doing is they are delaying the ask. They've not even told you the price, though.
Yes.
You don't even know the price yet. Yes. But deep down, as if you are conscious, you will be telling yourself, Omo, this shirt like this, it will cost, though. Because, but what they are doing, they are reducing the resistance.
Yes.
They're reducing the resistance, and as I then, you've already like become so used to the shirt. Maybe it fits you really well.
You're flexing
your muscle inside the shirt, and you're like, wow, it's really nice. Oh, it's really nice. It's really nice. And then you pull it out, and then you now ask the big question: how much?
Egon.
Oh, Nadia. Now they now say, you know,
because of you now.
No, they will not start with because of you. They will first say, this shirt now, we imported it from this thing as so-so price.
Mm-hmm.
But just take it as so-so price. Mm. Then you're like, it's too much now. Even if it's cheap, you will still say it's too much. You say, it's too much now. They now say, hi, why are you doing like this now? I just want you to take this shirt. This is your shirt. See, it's already on. They will start packaging it. That's the crazy. This is one crazy technique. Before you even like come out to say I don't, they've already started packaging it for you. Like they're doing everything they can to actually reduce your saying no.
Yes.
Then you now start haggling. Maybe you say it's 15,000. Say no, I'll pay 10. You say alright. Oh, you're making things. Oh yeah, let's pay 35. They don't say I don't have 35. You don't want to make I go out. Mm. Next thing, maybe you end up buying the shirt for 12,000. Mm. Did you buy the shirt or not? You bought it. Next day, if you want to buy a shirt, the first thing that comes to your mind, the first place that comes to
it's
your mind,
is Chukwudi
Shop. May you go there. May you go collect fan. May it still wipe. May it still hype you.
Yes.
May it still give you something like you
even
deserve.
Like-
and even if now, yes, well, this way is crazy. If you even get there, like, and he doesn't have exactly what you want, like if you get to the shop and a situation where you look for the shirt that you came to buy and you don't see,
yeah,
they don't go sit down, enjoy which shirt, make I go bring them from our second shop. Oh, I have it in the store in the warehouse.
Non-existent.
They will now check and they will literally go shop to shop to find that product for you. This is something that it takes like a huge understanding of sales to know that once you lose a customer, you're never getting him back.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they are doing all these things, because once you walk out of that shop without patronizing them, without buying from them, you have no reason to come back there.
Yes.
And it's crazy. Yourself, check yourself. The shop that you've left before, you will never go back. You won't even go back there.
Mm.
Like another day to look for another thing.
Mm.
Whether you like it's psychological. So they are doing these things to retain you, and before you know, you will become a year-long customer, a two-year-long customer.
And you cannot think of that product without remembering this guy.
They will even get to a point where they will start inviting you to their events,
maybe their wedding.
The daughter is wedding, and they will call you my customer. You come, you spray, you will become their friend, their family friend. Like it's crazy.
It is. I think one more thing that Igbo people understand is that selling is not sexy.
Yes, it's not sexy. Right? It's
all the extra,
all the mushy, all those mushy things. No, you can sell an Igbo man now. His shop, will be like maybe a container.
Yes,
he has goods inside. You just sit down with his singlet and knicker in front of the place.
Yes,
you just
you've
sit
been
down.
To Newi.
Yes, you will just sit down. Literally, but these men are billionaires, oh.
Yes,
they have crazy money. They just sit down there, and the only thing that they care about, it's just to give you what you want and you give them their money. Peace reign. Everybody go. Finish. They don't care about all these, all those ones, because selling is simply like it's called sales.
Mm.
Your number one focus for having a business is to actually make sales.
Yeah.
There is no sexiness to it. All these things that you end up spending time on the things that don't move the needle. On the things that don't move the business needle, things that don't help you make money.
Yes.
You end up spending money where you are supposed to be making money.
Mm.
So when you focus on the things, the most important factor in selling, which is give people what they want and people will buy.
As simple.
As really as simple as this.
Now, a lot of people say that Igbo people are insincere in business.
Mm.
Do you have to lie and blackmail people to sell?
Like I always say, selling is about helping people.
The thing is, sellers say this when they're on TV.
When they're, yeah.
But in the real world,
yeah,
sellers will hold you by the neck, blackmail you, curse your family.
No, I don't think that. I don't think it happens as much as that.
Yes.
I don't think it happens as much as that. You don't actually need to blackmail somebody to buy from you.
Okay.
You don't need to. So long as you understand the principle of value creation, you understand. So long as you are able to give somebody what they want. Yes, you can. There's something called an ethical manipulation.
Manipulation, right?
Ethical manipulation.
Okay, you added ethical to
it. Yes, it's ethical.
Oh, stop it.
It's ethical. It's ethical. Because let me tell you now, if you wanted to buy from, if there were two sellers, right? If there was Tunde and there was Emeka.
Yeah.
Now you go to Tunde's shop and Tunde says, buy this phone, right? And I'm going to give you a charger.
Okay.
For free.
Okay.
Then you go to Emeka's shop. Emeka tells you, buy this phone. And if anything happens to this phone within 6 months, come back, I'll change it for you. If I'll also give you a charger, I'll give you an earpiece, I'll even give you a Wi-Fi to go with it in case network is not in your area. I'll even deliver it to your door. Right?
Yes.
Now, what do you know what they're doing to you? They're manipulating you ethically. They're giving you value, yes, but it is literally retraining your brain to forget that there was ever a guy called Tunde that you said you were going to buy from. They will make themselves the only option that you will feel stupid not to buy from them. That is why I said it's ethical, because you're not actually controlling them. You're just giving them so much of what they want in a very dialed up way that they can't even remember that there's any other person that is in the same marketplace as you. That is ethical manipulation. You're not doing anything dark.
Okay.
You're just giving people, you just understand that people always want a woof, and you are serving their need, giving them the a woof.
But it's not always like that. Anybody with internet connection,
yeah,
have heard of Nigerian affiliate marketers.
Okay.
It used to be network marketers before.
Yeah.
When they hold you by the neck.
Yeah.
And call for your life, your blood is gonna dry. Now it is affiliate marketers.
Okay.
And oftentimes they do really weird stuff,
like
trying to sell to people. Ah, you are unserious with your life. Have you?
Oh.
You can never make it.
Okay. Well, I think it's like I always, it's a personality thing. That's not the goal of selling. Okay. Because if you don't make me feel good, I can't even buy from you.
Okay.
I'm sure I'm not alone. When I want to buy something, I buy from somebody that makes me feel good.
Okay.
That is why an able man will go out of his way to make you feel comfortable. Mm. So that at the end of the day,
turns on the gen for you.
Yes, literally. Like KLT.
Yeah.
No, like and trust.
Mm.
Yeah, the deploy, the dial it up, right?
Sorry, now, what did you say that?
I said KLT means no, like and trust.
Okay.
In order for somebody to buy from you, they have to know you, they have to like you, and just have to trust you.
Mm.
Now, it all happens like it's a straight line pattern where when somebody like makes you feel comfortable, you feel like you know them. When they tell you stories about them, you feel like you know them. And then you see what they do, you will start liking them. And over time, the trust comes in.
Mm.
When they tell you, this person, you say is a liar, that this guy that I know can do this. Exactly. And once you get somebody in that grip, anything you sell, they'll buy.
Mm.
And they are not even necessarily buying it because you are selling, because of what you are selling. They are buying because it because you are the seller.
Selling it.
This is another fact. This is another great, 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 great strategy that business owners can actually like implement in their own businesses.
Interesting.
Right?
Interesting.
So back to what we were saying. Now, about the manipulation thing, is a personal, because most guys, they just go to the edge and feel as though if someone does not buy your stuff, then they are unserious. And this is especially with make money online products.
Yes. Yeah.
But the truth is, you can't necessarily want good for somebody more than the person wants for themselves.
Mm.
Right? So the goal of marketing, the goal of selling, is to sell to people who want to buy. Right? You can't close everybody. In fact, bad marketers, bad sellers think that they have to sell to everybody. No. You only have to sell to a portion of everybody.
Okay.
You have to sell to people who are ready and willing to buy what you're selling.
How do you find these people?
Exactly.
I know that for the traditional market, when people want stuff,
they come to the one shop
for all on each main market.
And
if
then
you get to main market,
you'll find everything.
And
that
you get
looking.
To that line.
Yes. You'll so, find it.
As it is that our world is somewhat different.
Yeah.
How do I find the people that are looking for me?
Now, in today's world, yeah, it's the internet world. People rarely even like most of the things. People spend a lot of money online these days. Now, in as much as they spend a lot of time, money online, they also spend a lot of time. Now, you need to go out there. This is now, the table has now turned. Instead of them looking for you, because the internet is so big, right? You need to go out there and find your tribe, find your customers. And the social, social media has helped us a lot, right? Now, with Facebook, you can actually like target people who want what you are selling or who are interested in what you are selling and put your offer right there in their faces, right?
So this time
you are the one doing the prospecting.
You're in the Osafia. Not just in the market.
They are not just in the market, they are now online.
They are now online and they are in people's homes, people's offices.
They are in your pockets. They are in your pockets because once you pull out your phone, you will see them. You will see their ad. Right? Everybody's selling something. If you think I'm lying, go to Facebook right now. Scroll. You cannot scroll 6 posts without seeing an ad.
It's terrible.
You cannot scroll 6 posts. In as much as yes, it's how would I say, it disrupts the whole
social process. Yeah.
But the reason why people are doing it is because it's working. If it wasn't working, people would not be doing it. Right? And in as much as you feel that they are disturbing you, there's somebody that desperately needed to see that ad.
Yeah.
And they are not going to use it because you are not comfortable.
And the funny
to
thing is,
deny the other person.
The funny thing is, when an ad that suits you hits you,
you won't even know.
You won't notice
it's an ad. Gary Helbel says that people click on a lot of things. Sometimes it's an ad. Right? When you see, if you want to travel to Canada right now,
yeah,
and you've been looking around you all along and you're just like, hey, how are I going to take travel to go Canada now? All these agents. And then one day you just see a guy doing a case study of how he was able to travel to Canada with low IELTS, without proof of funds.
Yes.
Nobody will tell you to click that ad.
You want to hear.
You want to know because this is something that you are desperately looking for. Now, if at the end of the day, the person sells you something and you check within yourself and you agree with yourself that this thing is what I really want,
yeah,
you end up buying it. Everybody's happy, right? So it's probably, that is why the algorithms have made it easier. You only see ads that interest you because Facebook, all the social media platforms, they understand you. They know you more than you even know yourself because people say that they are this.
Yeah.
But their actions say otherwise. Facebook, all these algorithms, they don't care about what
they're
you see.
They're not sentimental about
they care about what you do. It is what you do. If you are a person that you say you don't like iPhones, but all the time you are scrolling through iPhone's website, tomorrow you will see ads on iPhone on how to buy iPhone. Because they know that truly, truly, you are interested in this stuff. You go and buy it. Right? If you're somebody that says this, they will just package that interest and give it to an advertiser that wants to sell something to those kind of persons.
Yeah.
And boom, everybody's making money. Right? So that's literally it. In today's world, you need to go out, you need to learn Facebook advertising, you need to learn Instagram advertising. You see, you cannot fight change. If you fight change, change will kill you. Yes. If you fight change, if you want to, if you think I'm lying, go to the market and check for people that are still selling CD players right now.
Cyber cafe.
Or phone centers, call centers.
Call centers.
And tell me how the market is doing.
I think the new thing now is POS.
Oh, very soon POS will even be out of vogue.
Actually.
Very soon, like very, very soon, because technology does not wait for anybody. Mm. Every day things are being rolled out. Every day.
Whether it's going out of fashion soon, the sheer number of POS in Nigeria.
It's crazy.
It's alarming.
It's crazy. In fact, I don't even remember the last time I went to a bank to withdraw.
Right?
I don't remember the last time I went to a bank to withdraw.
They're actually fulfilling.
They're helping people.
They're helping people. And it's actually a thriving business.
Yes.
Finally, Chris, you've been selling to Nigerians for a while now.
Yeah.
You've been selling for a long time. And if someone wanted to start selling his products, because I mean the crux of every business is sales.
Yeah.
What have you learned about Nigerians that will help that person?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Now, selling to Nigerians is fun, but it's also crazy. Like, Nigerians are, we are one of the like worst online buyers. We buy a lot though.
Yes.
But the process in which we used to buy, if you don't have the OT to sell to Nigerians, you will miss out on a lot of money. Now, number one thing you need to know, Nigerians want to, like, they want to get so much for so little. They don't necessarily need to rip you off, but they need to feel like they are ripping you off. Yeah. So if they don't feel like that, the probability is very low that you are going to make that sale. So if you're selling to Nigerians, always try to use hyperbole in your marketing, and not just using it, try to fulfill it to some extent, so that when they eventually buy, they will say, at least he tried. Nigerians will love that because we're so used to disappointment. You don't even need necessarily, an expo now, but you don't necessarily need to fulfill all your promises. You can just fulfill like 50%. Yes. They will say, he tried.
We've already
been so used to it. This brings me to the second thing. You need to make a giant promise. Don't even try to underpromise. See, if you know that this thing will last for 4 hours, don't say it will last for 2 hours and then you want to shock them by making, say it will last for 5 hours. So that eventually, if it lasts for 4 hours, they will now say, he really tried, though. It's true. And they're going to refer you. They're going to spread a lot of good news. They'll say, it will work. All right? Now, use free in your marketing. Use free, the word free, use it. People love free things, Nigerians in particular. And then Nigerians are people, they don't pay attention to details. Let me give you a clear example right now. Let's say you run an ad, right? You run an ad saying, I want to sell, or I'm selling this earpiece for 2,500 naira.
Yes.
Delivery details is at number 3 Oshodi, Lagos. Click on the link below to send me a WhatsApp message. Do you know the highest number of comments you're going to see on that post?
What?
Interested. I'm interested. How do I order? But this is basically what you wrote there.
Yeah.
If they even come to your WhatsApp, they'll still tell you, how do I order? Where are you based? They saw all these things are in the ad, right? You saw all these things, guy. Why are you still saying it? And if you are not somebody that has your emotions in check, you'll be like, this guy, you'll be like, see, you know, serious. You'll be missing out on money, right? But Nigerians also, they don't like to work with companies. They prefer to deal with individuals. Instead of hiding under a we. Forget that we and talk to them personally. Call them on the phone. Make them feel special. Nigerians love Okongo Okongo. I remember one time I wanted to buy.
Please explain. What is Okongo Okongo?
Okongo Okongo is more like, do you know who I be? You know, like I'm a boss, right? I remember one time I wanted to buy a table. Yeah. Like, I wanted to buy this table. It was a very custom, beautiful table. I think the price was about 30k or so. So I chatted up the guy. I chatted him up, and he was like, we don't produce blah 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 blah. And I'm like, are they we talking to me right now? Or is it one Emeka from somewhere that is chatting me? Next thing, I think the guy has some experience. So he just called me and he was like, Hi, my name is, he's a Yoruba guy actually. Called me and we talked. After talking and laughing, I paid instantly and delivered the table. I'm pretty sure that if we had continued that WhatsApp, I would have just left that chat and he would end up missing on that scene.
Because the entire we thing is intimidating.
It's very like, forget that we, forget the brand, talk to people. Nigerians want to, they want to like relate to you as a person. They want to be able to,
they want to hear answers.
They want to haggle your price. They want to tell you, you don't go do, I'm cheaper. That's the one. They want to haggle. Yeah. So speak to, let them haggle. And then Nigerians will also bully you. They want to bully you. They want to bully you. Now the crazy thing is, let them bully you. Let them bully you, right? After bullying you, make the child still pay. Collect the money. The money will suffice. It will suffice for the bullying. For your troubles. And when you let them bully you, right, they're going to reward you by talking about your product. Nigerians, they know how to give good reviews. If a Nigerian, like if Nigerians or a set of Nigerians actually stand behind your product, nothing can bring you down. They will go to heaven and hellfire to fight anybody that comes to say rubbish about you. Like that's literal. Nigerians, we have the most, like if we decide to go all out for something, nothing, like no literally no
high water,
nothing can stop you. Like you will make money and you will beg, say I beg, you don't do. It's really that crazy.
Yeah.
And also, like, if you're selling to Nigerians, you also need to like show authority. Nigerians, they judge by the cover. We're very judgmental people, right? We're very judgmental people. So if you're selling to Nigerians, you must be able to package yourself, package whatever you're selling, package it well, because they will judge you by the cover. Literally, you need to use, in fact, if you can, please use influencer marketing. Influencer marketing is the best form of marketing in Nigeria. Like to sell to Nigerians. Millions of people can actually buy your product just because the video posted it, or your polo because Wizkid wore it to an event. All you just need to do is just to tell them that this is your product, and people will rush it. In fact, they will even track you, they will find you, and they'll go and buy your product. So as much as
Nigerians are loyal,
they are loyal, guy. So just as much as you can, just try, use influencers, try, look for a particular niche, use an influencer to actually promote that product to them, right? They will buy. Finally, Nigerians love proof. If you go to an ATM right now, if you go to an ATM and maybe there are three like ATM machines there, you will literally, most of the time, you will see them standing
in just the longest queue.
The longest queue. And when they just come, they'll just come and stand at the back. They don't even care whether these
all
two
are paying.
Why? Because this one shows proof that it's working.
It shows proof of funds.
It's just proof. Right? But you will see that once in a while, somebody will just step in and just start to like try.
Yeah.
And then you try and it starts paying. People will just start queuing there. like clockwork.
Comfortable.
Like Nigerians, they love proof. They will line up to you if you have proof, rather stay in line than to go and be the first with somebody that doesn't have any track. Okay, so that's literally it about selling to Nigerians. Nigerians, they have money. They get money. Dad.
There's money in Nigeria.
Hey, money day. You just need to know how to get a truckload of them. You just need to know how to sell to them. I will advise that you buy this book, How to Sell to Nigerians by Akin Alabi. Buy it.
Akin Alabi.
Read it. That book is a gold mine. It has helped me a lot, and I'm sure it would actually like help anybody that is selling to Nigerians. He wrote this specifically for, and I'm not an affiliate for the product. If you think I am, I'm not. But you can actually buy it. If you want to now pay me something, pay me.
It's all right. Thank you so much, Chris, for coming on the End Podcast. I really appreciate this.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you.
I love the episode. I love the whole
Why won't you love it?
I just
the real Onyafia selling one.